I appreciate that song this morning.
I want it to be well with my soul. I want it to be well with all of our souls today. And not just today, but throughout the remainder of the year and through this season of our lives. I want you young people and all of us here to mature in our walk with the Lord. And for you to be able to come to the end of life's way and know that all is well with your soul. That's the ultimate goal. And we want to be faithful to the Lord. Thinking this morning about being not just, about being well in our soul. And sometimes we use well in place of good or blessed, and sometimes we use well to describe that we aren't sick or we aren't diseased or something like that. And I know that in our world we hear these scares sometimes of diseases that seem to be gaining momentum, maybe in a foreign country. And what was the one here a while back? Ebola or something like that. And this contagious condition, whatever you want to call it, seemed to be life-threatening and was taking lives in other lands. And the fear of that coming to our country. And then maybe you hear some other kind of flu or virus or disease, and you hear that it's in a foreign land, and you hear of all the precautions that's made about trying to ensure that it doesn't come into our environment here. And there's a natural apprehension for disease, I would think. I have a natural apprehension for disease. I don't want to be diseased in my natural body. I'm very, very thankful. It's one of my prayers every morning is to thank the Lord for the health that I have. And I'm so grateful the Lord has blessed us all here today with the health that we have. But I'd like to talk to us today a little bit about a disease. I would like for this to be maybe considered to be a sequel to something we heard earlier in the meeting. I'd like to talk to us about a disease that is very rampant in our world today, and it's not just in the arena of living for God. It's in many aspects of life. You find it in just all facets of life. So I've noticed in my lifetime and before my lifetime, the diseases get larger and larger names. Have you ever noticed that? And more complicated and more difficult to pronounce. So I have come up with a name for this disease. And I'm going to write it on the board. And it's probably going to be a new word to all of us. I'm not going to tell you that I know exactly how to pronounce it, but I've put several things together, and I think you will maybe get... You know, sometimes I think that's what they do when they name a disease. They just put all of the different components of the disease in there, and they just run all the letters together and then expect someone else to be able to pronounce it. It wasn't a melodious word to start with, so this probably isn't either. So if you would like to pronounce that, I'll leave that to your own discretion, but I'll give you my definition for it. It's an exaggerated condition of being non-committal. It's something that has got completely out of hand. And it's just a real bad case of unwillingness to make a long-term or binding agreement. Now, you know, substantial things are built on long-term agreements, long-term commitments, long-term devotion to something. We live in a world that contests that and wants to have things without long-term commitments and long-term devotion and all of the, it's just, that's the age that we live in, and that's why I say that this disease is rampant. It just has spread through it's permeated society all around us. It's manifested in an unwillingness to really put sincere effort into the cause or the need that's at hand. Just half-hearted trying. Thinking that you ought to be rewarded for maybe just showing up on the job. Thinking that because that you're related to somebody, you deserve a promotion or deserve something special, or because you're from some special place that there ought to be a privilege that's connected with that. Just not a real commitment and devotion to a worthwhile endeavor. We see it all around us. How many of us have seen advertisements for maybe you'd like to have a cell phone and you don't really want to sign up on a long-term contract? You know, you can get one now without any kind of commitment. Just kind of pay as you go or something like that. And there are unsecured credit is the plague of our age, the time that we live in. Just not willing to substantiate why I want to borrow. Just you're just going to take a chance on me paying it back. We have so many relationships in our world today that has been established without a real commitment, unwilling to make commitments. Maybe they think they have a good reason or a justifiable excuse. And you know, every time that starts, every time a relationship that is intended to be a long-term relationship starts without a willingness to give a long-term commitment, it always ends in heartache. There's always damage. There's always issues. There's always something that there's someone left holding the bag, so to speak. I look around and observe the popularity of over in my side of the state. We're close to Oklahoma and places where they have these casinos and stuff. And it's so popular today to have this high hopes of attaining wealth without any real commitment to an occupation, without having any commitment or devotion to a trade or to something that a person might accumulate some wealth if the Lord sees fit. But people, they're looking for some kind of reward, and it's a disease. They just feel like there's no sense in making a long-term commitment. They feel like they've been taken advantage of in a long-term commitment before. And it's got to the point that society has no sense of responsibility to uphold the values for future generations. It's a lot more common to hear someone saying, you need to do this for yourself. You need to express yourself. Instead of, how many times do you hear someone relating to someone else? You have an obligation to your family. You have an obligation to society, to your children, to your whatever it is. We hear a lot more readily we would hear someone saying, well, you just need to feel free to express yourself or to gratify your desires. You go to try to buy something, and especially if it's a major purchase, you're probably going to hear a salesperson say, you deserve this. You need to reward yourself. Well, it's not about whether you can really afford it or not. It's unwillingness to make a long-term commitment to get in a place where you can afford it. It's just, you might as well have it now. There's no sense waiting until, just think of how many years or how many miles or whatever it is that you could enjoy what this thing that you're thinking about. If you just go ahead and your credit's good, we can get you approved. All of this, no commitment, you see. It's a disease that spread through us, and it'll impact us. I believe the message we heard the other night about commitment to God is an incredibly essential component. But I'd like to read a scripture over here in Isaiah, the 4th chapter, and point out to us that if we're not careful, we'll adopt a mindset of this disease up here, and we'll feel like our only commitment is just to God. I want to tell you, it falls in the same category as someone feels like if they just accept Jesus, that's all they have to do. I want to tell you, we can't be saved without the blood of Jesus Christ. And we can't really be successful as a Christian without being committed to God. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of details that we need to work out. There's a lot of things that we need to be committed to be successful in our walk with the Lord and our experience of salvation. In Isaiah, the 4th chapter, in the 1st verse, he says, in that day, 7 women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. Now, I'm not going to elaborate on all that this scripture might imply to, but I'd just like to apply it to our thought this morning of how that there 7 women taking hold of one man and saying, we'll provide our own upkeep, you might say. Just let us use your name. We don't really want a long-term commitment here. Just let us have your name so that it won't look so shameful. It'll look like that we have a husband. It'll look like that we're a respectable person instead of a disrespectable person. Today, this kind of mindset is so common. I don't know if it's altogether talking about our age that we live in, but it is very fitting to the time we live in, where people want something without really making the long-term commitment. There's things that I have wanted in life that I realize I've had to make a long-term commitment. I've got to stick with some things. And I've lived long enough to have realized the impact of making that commitment. I want to tell you, when I entered into marriage with my wife, I made a commitment to that. And it's been 30 years since we made that commitment. And there's been things that's tested that down through the years. But I want you to know that there's a blessing that comes from that, making that long-term commitment. And if we hadn't both entered into this marriage being willing to make that long-term commitment, we wouldn't have made it 30 years. That's just the bottom line. And today we see this wreckage all around us. It was mentioned just earlier in prayer, I believe, that our nation quite possibly has more broken homes than they do homes that's intact. That's a terrible statistic. Why is it? It's because of this disease. Not willing to make the commitment and stick with it. I remember one time as a teenager here at Myrtle Camp Meeting, we washed our dishes up here in this a couple galvanized tubs up there by the door where we go in the dining hall, the double doors there. And I remember one time started washing the dishes after a noonday meal. And young people's meeting was at, 6 or probably 6 o'clock in the evening. And got started washing dishes. And there was several of us that was washing dishes. And then as time went on, as the pile kind of slowed down, and we didn't use styrofoam and plastic then. It was the trays and the metal utensils and all those little tin cups that you see a few of them still around here. And we washed those by the basketful. And we were washing all of those things. And as the pile kind of got smaller, some of the help disappeared. And I thought, I want to really see this thing all cleaned up. And I kind of made that commitment to myself. And it got down to where we got all the silverware and the plates and the cups all washed and dried. And I don't remember what all we was doing. But then kind of the last ones that was there helping disappeared. And there was, I don't know how many pots and pans out of the kitchen they got really busy. It was a busy day. And I ended up finishing all of those dishes by myself. And I thought, I just barely got to young people's meeting in time. Maybe it was not lunch. Maybe it was supper. I don't know. It had been a long time if I'd washed since dinner. But anyway, I just remember that sensation of realizing I'd made a commitment to see the job done. And little by little, I don't remember who all it was, those people that was my age and all of that back then. But I just remember that one by one, they trickled out and you're left with it. And many times we start realizing the level of our responsibility and we start looking around for those that's supposed to be supporting us, and the bench is empty back here. And there's somebody over here that we thought we could depend on and they're not there either. Lord, help us. Are we willing to make that kind of commitment? It's going to mean something to be well with our soul. We're going to have to make a commitment to the Lord. The song talks about things coming and overwhelming us and all that. Dear ones, there's a lot of things in life that's going to try to overwhelm us. But when we make that commitment, we're going to have to renew and refresh that commitment, or this disease is going to get us. We're going to fall prey to this disease. Tempting everyone here that's been committed to your marriage for a long period of time, every one of you has been tempted to say, this is it. Every one of you has been, I've just had all of him or all of her than I can possibly stand. You've all been tempted with that to some degree. You've all been tempted to walk off of your job. At least I think you have. I was. You've been tempted to give up whatever you've been doing for the cause of God, for the gospel. I don't know what each one of you done, but maybe you've made a commitment to be there to lead out in prayer, to be prepared with a testimony, to be prepared to take care of some of the temporal things. To keep the grounds like they look today, it's taken some commitment. It looks like if you didn't mow this grass all year long and then you just come in and bush hogged it just before we had camp meeting? You know what it would look like? I do. There'd been a lot of sprouts out of here. There'd been some thorns that the children would have stepped on because these little sprouts would have come up that it had thorns on. That's what it would look like. But it's taken commitment.
Thank the Lord.
And without that commitment, it would have been You come here and you think, oh, there's so many things that need to be fixed and all that. But you think of what it would have been like if there would have been no commitment at all. If there'd been no one here to try to keep things in order. It takes commitment. We have to be diligent. If we're not diligent, this disease will get us. You know how tempting it is when you think about, I'm the only one that's ever cut this grass. I'm the only one that ever shows up for this or that. I'm the only one that sees that all the pots and pans get put away after the last meal here at camp meeting. Because you don't want the mice running around on it in the months in between. You know, it takes commitment to do that. It takes commitment to come and maybe clean the dust and the mold or whatever's accumulated before the meeting. It'd be easy to say, you know, I've had it. I can't do it anymore. If nobody else really wants to step up to the plate, it'll just have to go smash. You know, we're all tempted with that in all aspects of our life. I'd like to read to you some words that's always been a challenge to me over in Psalms, 15th Psalm. I'll begin reading maybe in the first verse. He says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? You know, there's a lot of people that are assuming that they're going to make it and they haven't ever made any commitment. But I want to tell you today that you need to start asking some questions. Lord, am I going to make it? Lord, do I have the commitment that you want me to have? So the psalmist says, Lord, who's going to abide in thy tabernacle and who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. You know, all of us can do that for a short term. But it takes real commitment to do it for a lifetime. He says here, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. It's going to take a real commitment to keep that in place all through life. He says, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. You know, that's a real commitment to swear to your own hurt. Have you ever wished that you hadn't promised you would do something? Have you ever wished that maybe you hadn't been so ready? You know, I've been that way. I've had some places in my life that I wished I hadn't started this. I wished I hadn't made that commitment. But here's what I've had to go back to. I've had to go back and ask myself and ask the Lord, why did I make that commitment? Why did I start down this path? And when it comes down to it, it's, Lord, I want to be one of those that abide in thy tabernacle. I want to be one that dwells in your holy hill. I want to be one that you can say, it's well with your soul. I don't want to be diseased when I come to face the Lord. I don't want to be in a position to where he has to say, you're contaminated, you're diseased, you're infected. You didn't stay true to your commitments. I want to be true to my commitments. He says, one that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. This is not talking about just being stubborn or being hard-headed. It's talking about making a real commitment to the cause of Christ. It's talking about making a commitment to God Himself, but the cause that's in our front yard, so to speak. You know, we all have a little bit of a front yard, unless you live on upper floor of an apartment or something, but we all have something that's in our front yard, so to speak. And we're going to be asked to make commitments and see it through to the end. To see the job. You know what? I've got some unfinished projects in my life that I've made commitments to. And I want to see them done. I want to see them completed. But you know, right now there's things that I feel like sometimes I'm standing on the edge and I'm thinking, is it really worth it? Why did I make that commitment? Why did I stick my neck out? Why did I get started on this? There's times I want to, I'm tempted. I'm just like you are. I'm tempted with this disease. I'm tempted that maybe there's some way out. But I don't want to succumb to that with the help of the Lord. I'd like to turn to 2 Samuel and point us to a scripture. And I read these verses that I'm going to read to you. And I think, Lord, you know the commitments that I've endeavored to make in my life. And you know how I've had a desire. And you're going to have to help me when I feel overwhelmed. I look at 2 Samuel 23. And we'll start looking maybe at the 8th verse. It says, these be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino the Esnite. He lift up his spear against 800 men whom he slew at one time. And I wonder, somewhere in the midst of that conflict, if he'd have wished he hadn't have made that commitment. I can only imagine that if I was there and I realized that it wasn't just one or two that I was doing battle with, but it was 800. I mean, 8 would have been bad enough, but 800. I would have been thinking that maybe I'd have wished I hadn't have made that commitment. You know, you could have saved some skin by not even making a commitment, period. And you know, the enemy, that's part of this disease. The enemy wants us to back up and say, just don't commit. And that way you don't have anything to lose. So I want to ask you this morning, is that true? Is it true that you can get out of responsibility by not committing? What's the Lord going to require of us? You remember the ones that came down to the end? Jesus gives the story there of the sheep and the goats being separated. And he says to some of them, I was hungry and you didn't give me anything to eat. I was in trouble. I was needy. And they said, well, Lord, we didn't realize it. And you know why they didn't realize it? They wasn't willing to make commitments. They wasn't willing to look for a responsibility. I read some more here. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Hohite, one of the three mighty men with David, whom they, when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him, only to spoil. Now, this man made a real commitment, and his commitment went beyond his natural strength. It went beyond his ability and his expertise. It went to the point that it was like his hand was claving to the sword. It's like he couldn't turn loose. And you know, the Lord blessed. It says right here, the Lord wrought a great victory. Why did the Lord? Why was the Lord able to wrought a great victory? How did it happen? It was because somebody was willing to make the commitment in their own front yard, so to speak, in their own territory, where the Lord had placed them. He was willing to make the commitment, I'm going to see this battle through. And I believe it was a literal battle then, but we have a lot of spiritual battles today. And there are times, I'm telling you, we are wore smooth out. We feel totally exhausted. We feel like we're being overwhelmed, overrun, sabotaged, and everything else all the way around us. But the Lord can He can give us a real victory if we're willing to resist the disease that wants to come on us. We're all susceptible to this disease. We're all susceptible to succumbing to the thing. You know, I had a guy come out. He comes out regularly to our little place of business and delivers parts. I mean, not every day, but I see him. That's his. He's kind of semi-retired or mostly retired. And anyway, he come out one day and something was mixed up on the order of parts that we had ordered. And when he got there, I made some comment to him about we're going to have to make another trip or we're going to have to come in and get it or something like that. And it was like, okay. He said his ability to care was broke. That's what he said. He didn't say it in those words, but he said that his ability to care, whether it was was right, correct or not, it just broke. You know, it just, no commitment, you see. And that's what the devil wants to get us. You know, we get to looking around at all of the distressful things that's going on around us. And if we're not careful, we'll succumb to this disease to where our ability to care how something turns out will just be broke. It just won't work any longer. And it doesn't really matter if somebody comes along and says, can't you see we need some help over here? And it's like, not really. It's just broke. And why is it broke? It's because I've been infected with this disease. It's out there in the world. You know, if somebody says, we're serving something, just come and eat with us, you'll perk right up many times. It's because there's something in it for me. But when it comes to making this difficult commitment and seeing something through, it's like, I don't know what that part, I don't care anymore. You ever heard somebody say that? That's because something is totally broken in their life. It's most likely a relationship. And they say, I don't care anymore. It's why has this happened? It's because they've been infected with a disease. And their commitment is dissipated. Don't have it anymore. We could read some more about these mighty men. I just want to challenge you with something here. As a young man, I have I wanted to have physical strength. I made a commitment for some of that. And I'm thankful for the physical strength I was able to attain. I made commitment for emotional and mental strength because I seen firsthand what weakness in those areas could cause. I didn't want that. And I made a commitment, I'm not going to let that happen to me with the help of the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, it's not always been easy because the enemy, just as sure as you make a commitment, it's just the enemy's business to capitalize on that commitment. And he just hones right in on that. You just leave this little service today and you say, well, I'm making a commitment. I'm going to whatever. I'm going to be there in the home congregation, and I'm going to be prepared to participate. I'm going to be prepared to be an encouragement to those. I'm going to be prepared to take care of temporal responsibility. You just make that commitment and see what the devil does. There'll be something that'll come in the way. There'll be some kind of looks like roadblock that you're going to have to tunnel through. There's going to be opposition that you're going to have to dismantle to follow through with. And it's all part of the tactics of this disease. I know what it's like, and many of you do know how to be committed to being in service all the time. I'm thankful for the track record that I was handed. Then I know how discouraging that it can be. I know what it's like to accept a challenge, to see something completed on the job. Been in situations where somebody said, I want someone to stay and get the job done. You ever been there? I want someone to stay and see that this is done. We need to finish this before we go home. I've been there. I've made some commitments and felt like I had all kinds of roadblocks put in my way. I remember one time I made a commitment. Somebody was traveling. This has been a long time ago. I told my wife, I will never do this again. It was too dangerous. I was much younger then. And someone came in that was traveling. I made a commitment to see that their vehicle was on the road again before I went home. And one thing after another happened all day long. And I didn't get started on it till about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I stayed till 5:30 the next morning and got it done. I was so exhausted. It was one of those hot summer days. I was physically exhausted. I was mentally exhausted. I was frustrated because of all. It seemed like every time I wanted to work on this thing, it was sabotaged. Somebody wanted something else out of me. I want to tell you, I was at a low point. I know what it's like to make commitments. And I want to tell you, with the help of the Lord, I'm committed to living for Him. But we need some more. We need some more that's committed to God. We need some more that's committed right where you live to be what God wants you to be. Not just coming along. Had a thought here a while back about parasites. And I'm not going to maybe go into all of that right now, but you know, the devil, one of the things that he offers us when he gets us infected with this is to become a parasite on those that do have commitments. And when you become a parasite, you can look very lush and flourishing. Y'all know what mistletoe is? You ever seen it up in the tree? You know that's a parasite. I mean, I think mistletoe is pretty neat looking foliage, and it's kind of a pretty green thing to have in the wintertime. But you know, all during the summer, it's up there in the trees sucking off of that tree, and we can only see it in the wintertime when the leaves fall off. It's a parasite. It don't really have a commitment, if you will, to grow its own roots. We're going to have a commitment to grow our own roots. We're going to have a commitment to get a hold of God for ourselves, to find the place in the body that the Lord wants us to, and then be committed and not allow this disease. I'm going to tell you, this disease is everywhere. When we go from here and we go through the lunch line over here, You're going to hope that everybody that's serving food has washed their hands, because you don't want them to spread whatever they might have touched. You don't want someone to be sneezing and coughing in their hands and then shake your hand. Why? Because we don't want it to spread. And we don't want this to spread. It's going to have to start with me. I'm going to have to be determined not to be infected. And I'm going to tell you, it's tempting. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. And it's so easy to become under this influence to where our ability to really care just gets broke. So desire your prayers for myself today. But I want us to pray for one another that we'll avoid this disease like the plague. We'll treat it like the plague, because it is the plague. It is something that'll bring broad spread destruction to what we know as the Church of God. You pray for me.